A group of women in Kamloops are finding a way to rebuild their lives after prison. Moving Women Beyond Bars is a new group that's supporting formerly incarcerated women. Rose Warnell and Gail Carrier are founding members of this group. Rose is the executive director of Anything Is Possible, and Gail is a nurse with Interior Health. Hello.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
So can you tell us a bit about what you're doing to support women as they come out of prison?
Right now, we're hooking them up with community supports, trying to find them safe, affordable housing, trying to get them into job programs so that they get some training so that they can get gainful employment in the community.
And Gail, can you tell me a bit about how this group came together and why you felt there was a need to bring this group together?
Well, actually, it all started out with Rose. She was one of the founding members and actually founded the whole Anything Is Possible while she was still incarcerated with some other directors. But when Rose got out, and I believe she was still on parole at the time, she happened to come to a group. It was an education session that she had brought another woman who had just been released on parole that happened to have hepatitis C, and she came to one of these support groups, or it was an education session on Hep C, and that's where I met Rose. And I was actually, she was so remarkable to me in terms of what she was trying to do, and she managed to hook me into a cup of coffee to sit down and listen to what she wanted to do and the Anything Is Possible Society, and it just kind of went from there.
Rose, what was it like when you were coming out of prison that made you feel like this was something you needed to do?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be brutally honest with you. The last 10 years of my active addiction, I spent 7 of it coming and going from institutions being incarcerated. Each time I got out and tried to change my life around, I found a barrier in front of me that was just too much for me to handle by myself. This most recent time, which was back in 2004, employment was my big thing. I couldn't find gainful employment because of my criminal history. Every place that I applied for on their application had a criminal records check, and are you bondable? And because of I make no mistakes, I don't ask nobody for sympathy. I made my choices, and I'm more than willing to deal with them. So I had to get a paper route. I got 6 paper routes at the very beginning to try and support myself coming out of the halfway house. And then a fellow person in NA took a chance on me and hired me into his landscaping company, where I did quite well for 4 years. Today I'm a level 3 first aid attendant, and life is doing good. But it was a lot of persistent, you know, I'm not going to give up on me this time, right?
What was the turning point, do you think?
The turning point for me was when I entered into the federal system, the Fraser Valley Institution. And the lady that met me at the door used to be staff at BCCW, which was BC Correctional Center for Women back in the day. And it was her... I got to tell you, it was her conversation with me when I came through the gates that was the turning point for me. I just said, no, I got to do something this time. I can't continue to do this. It was like an old record playing itself back, and it was a bad tune.
And Gail, as part of Moving Women Beyond Bars, you're going to be doing research on the barriers that meet women as they come out of prison. What do you hope to find?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The first phase of our research that is actually being facilitated by Women's Health Research Network in BC, and, you know, is basically, first of all, just to sort of develop relationships with the women so that they felt comfortable enough with us to actually disclose what some of the issues are. So the first part of the research was really getting to a place where the women themselves felt a community and felt secure and safe enough to talk about what went on in jail, what went on afterwards in terms of what some of those barriers are. And, you know, interesting enough, and I guess our findings or what we're, when we're listening to the women, what we're finding really replicates what another group in the Lower Mainland is doing, Women Into Healing, finding that women really want or need support afterwards. You know, and that sticks out first and foremost, even to housing, even to employment. They need to have community with other women that understand what their difficulties are, and that reintegrating into community is very difficult.
It's interesting that you mention the first step as building relationships, because that's about trust. How important is trust in this whole process and building trust for women as they're coming out of prison, Rose?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, one of the biggest barriers I think that we face in that lifestyle is the us and them mentality. It's us against the world. It's us against the prison staff. It's us against the system. So the biggest thing, it's a trust thing for sure. And the most important thing, I think, in this first stage was building the trust between the women and the couple of professionals we have on board. Now, you got to understand, when I use the word professionals, these, you know, Gail and Sherry, they're my friends, they're my comrades, they're my equals. They don't treat me like I'm not part of. Right? They accept my experience as genuine experiences. They don't discard anything I bring to the table. As a matter of fact, what I bring to the table is more important, as important as the scholarly profession that comes behind the research itself.
Hmm. Gail, you mentioned that this group is actually very similar to another group that's based out of the Lower Mainland, who we've spoken to before, Women Into Healing. What makes Moving Women Beyond Bars different?
I don't know that we're any different. It's just maybe perhaps the women that are in our group might have different issues, might have, in fact, different needs. You know, as Women Into Healing, when we met with them actually this weekend and had a workshop, tell us that there are resources all over the place in the downtown east side that are certainly willing. You know, many shingles are hung out that women can, in fact, you know, go to for assistance. And, you know, we just don't have those types of resources in Kamloops. Although we do have resources, they look different for women coming out of jail. I think that the biggest issue is that women coming out of jail be met by other women that have similar circumstances and have got experiences as well. And that's where Rose and some of the women that have successfully integrated into the community from, you know, a parole status, certainly can attest to, and they're there to greet them.
Can you tell us a bit about how this project is going to work, and you know, how long this project is going to go on for?
Well, that's where I wish that Sherry, my counterpart, was here, because actually she is getting her PhD, and it's while she's going to be on sabbatical that she's going to really be sort of, I guess, a little bit more of the mover and the shaker around getting some of the research actually on paper, so that while we're going to be meeting with the women, and the women are certainly going to be enjoying community or being a part of community, Sherry's going to be putting pen to paper in terms of what it is that the women are saying and how we can perhaps, I guess, have some influence in some papers, perhaps even a documentary, and maybe the women will possibly be writing a book.
Rose, I imagine a lot of women who are coming out of jail probably just want to forget about their experience being there. I don't know if can you tell me if that's true or not, or I'm just wondering how hard it is to convince women or to bring them into the group and make them want to take part.
I haven't found it very hard at all. Like when you're talking about my peers that have become part of the group, they feel more at home than anything. I mean, when you're looking at women coming out of a prison system, I mean, we've been programmed, prodded, poked to death, right? So when you come out of that system, there's a big difference between when you're coming out of a recovery appointed system and going into a recovery house and needing all that program and a different kind of support around you, as to coming out of prison when you're at that point where, okay, I've got hope, I got a little bit of faith, I really don't want to go back there. Now, how am I going to put one foot in front of the other to change that? At the same time, you can never forget where you came from, because then when you lose a little bit of faith, you don't remember the fight that you're fighting for. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. So how will you determine if this research project, if this program has been successful or not?
I've already seen success. I mean, in some of the women that struggled the first couple of times when they were out on parole here in Kamloops, then this Moving Women Beyond Bars has come up, and there's a couple of women that are simply glowing and achieving great goals in our community right now, simply because they've had someone to talk to in confidence and someone to give them support and someone to point them in the right direction. Like, when we finish parole, all the supports that go with the parole go away. They're done. They're pulled. So any counseling that the parole office has lined up for you, or any job program that they might be able to find the funding for, or any kind of support, like from a John Howard Society perspective where they get that runs the halfway house here in Kamloops, all that stuff goes away when you finish your parole. So I line that stuff up for them, or the group lines that stuff up for them while they're still on parole, so that they're not running around madly trying to find things to help them stay on track.
This seems like really integral work in terms of reintegrating people as they come out of prison. Do you feel that, and it's amazing that it's come out of such a grassroots kind of idea and group of people. I just wonder, do you feel like this is something that the government or that corrections should be providing?
I don't know that it would have the same integrity if it's something that the corrections or the government is providing. I mean, they play a part in the making people better, for sure, right? They could play a part in, okay, so I'm going to write a proposal so that I can go into the federal institution and start up a ally mentorship program so that we can begin to make stride circles for women in jail before they get paroled onto the street. Now, a stride circle is a group of people that one particular woman would like to have around them to support them when they get out outside of the system. It might be a mother, it might be a father, a cousin, a sister, A&D counselor, or just maybe a nurse from Interior Health, you know, so that when they get out of jail, these people can visit them while they're in jail, and then they can come out of jail and have these same people in their communities waiting for them when they get out, so they can have that, be used to that support, and it'll never go away.
Gail,
I think that's the best way the system could help, is to start supporting some of the grassroots programs out there, because we do make a huge difference in their jobs.
Gail, from a nurse's perspective, are there particular health needs that you see these women having that are different from other parts of the population?
You know, I don't think so. Except that many years maybe being in jail, you know, but I don't think that the women's health needs are any different. It's just the barriers that they have to addressing these health needs once they are labeled as, you know, on parole or post-parole, or like Rose said, not being able to get bondable or, you know, jobs as a result of, you know, needing a criminal records check. But I think what we find, the barriers, I mean, there's service provider barriers, and attitudes that happen as a result of maybe a woman post-parole coming in and telling me, you know, the reason why is because, you know, she needs this because, you know, she's been a number of years in jail, and just flags go up to, you know, I want to say to service providers. And right or wrong, those barriers, those perceptions and attitudes affect the delivery of care. But even the women's attitudes as well, and their perceptions, their sense of hopelessness, and, you know, they aren't worthy of care, or that they fear even going for care because of the shame and anger that might be, that they feel they may elicit. There's really many of the barriers as well are around the addictions. A lot of barriers around stigmatization, and our health system has got, you know, some barriers in it, you know, from process to policy barriers. And I'll tell you, when a woman is on parole, the barriers are amazing. Absolutely. I don't know how Rose ever did it, to be honest with you. I don't think Jane Smith could do it. Normal Jane Smith could do it. I truly don't.
How do you think we can go about addressing these barriers or changing these attitudes and stigmas?
You know, awareness of them. And just, I really, in my own institution, in healthcare, recognizing what some of these fears and the stigmas attached to some of these health issues when a woman is post-parole. I think if we bring them out into the open and we address them, I certainly think that in healthcare we can start addressing some of those systemic barriers, some of the barriers that are even in process. When a woman is on parole, you know, she can't speak with this person or that person, and, you know, quite frankly, it gets kind of confusing at times, even for a service provider who is trying to assist a woman on parole. I mean, just Sherry and I certainly found that out in a very rather bizarre circumstance of our research. We ignorantly felt that women could participate in some things when in fact we really needed to go very individually, each one of the women. We should have gone individually to their parole officer and asked some of these events and some of these activities that we had planned for them would not have been approved.
Interesting. Rose, what's the next step, or where are you planning to take this project next?
Like I said earlier, we're just wrapping up phase one, and that was like building relationships and community within the community. The next phase, which will be over the next year, December 2010 to December, the end of 2010, or January to December, will be building Stride Circles in three different communities. That'll be Kamloops, Merritt, and Williams Lake, for women that are looking at going into jail, so that we can start trying to set some support up for them before they go to jail, so that it's there when they get out of jail. We're going to put a proposal together to go into the federal and the provincial system to start a mentorship ally program to try and break down that barrier of the us and them, and that really comes from my side of the story. Like it does, like we build this facade in our brain that it's us against the world, right? And in, you know, some cases it proves to be true because of some of the responses we get when we get back out into the community. But you know what? We got to step up to the plate and try to help society change their ways of thinking about us as well.
Well,
it's not a one-sided story at all.
Well, thank you both so much for telling us about this this really fascinating, amazing project that you're both working on.
Thank you, Tiffany. We have a wonderful opportunity to share it with you, and thank you very much.
Thanks. Rose Warnell and Gail Carrier are members of Moving Women Beyond Bars, and they joined us from Kamloops.